You know it's summer when all people want to talk about is the weather. How seasonable it is, especially for this time of year. How incredibly mild. How typical. How it's finally come around. And how actually, now that it is here, it's all just a bit too much. We don't mind it hot, but not this hot. You also know it's summer when you can grab yourself a frozen strawberry lemonade. Tangy iced lemon mixed with a sweet strawberry swirl. $1.99 from the McCafe iced range at McDonald's. Served until the 11th of October, subject to availability. Price of participation may vary.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspectives, this is Revenge of the Birds.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio, and I'm your host, Jess Root, as we preview the next game coming up for the Cardinals, Week 7 Monday Night Football battle against the Baltimore Ravens at home. Now, since Seth Cox and I normally do our all-Cardinals show on Tuesday, this is our preview show. And rather than having Seth come on the line as we do, I've lined up a special guest, Matthew Stevens, the lead editor for Baltimore Beatdown, our SB Nation sister site for the Baltimore Ravens. He is what I am to RevengeOfTheBirds.com. Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How about you guys?
We're doing great. It's actually a good year to be a Cardinals fan. I'm sorry to say it's not exactly the same way for the Ravens. And what is this? What is kind of the state of the Ravens right now?
You know, the Ravens are still trying to figure out what in the world's going on. It's been a mix of injuries. It's been a mix of new scheme, new offensive coordinator Mark Trestman. And it's just been poor play throughout everything. So the Ravens right now are trying to figure themselves out and figure out where they're headed for the rest of the season and even for the upcoming seasons.
So let's kind of backtrack. Let's kind of build some of the narrative for this season. As Cardinals fans, we don't see very much of the AFC and even less of the AFC North. Obviously, one of kind of the things that we noted is the Cardinals have never beaten the Ravens. Not that they played a lot, but they've never beaten the Ravens. And look, let's go back to the offseason. What were some of the major changes that happened? Obviously, the one is the addition of Mark Trestman to the staff. But what were expectations coming into this year?
The expectations were about as high as you could possibly expect. I mean, it's... At the beginning of the season, everyone here at Baltimore Beatdown was kind of expecting the Ravens to be a Super Bowl contender. I know a lot of other analysts and other media members were expecting the same type of thing. I mean, the Ravens usually ranked within the top five on most people's preseason power rankings list, with even Peter King expecting them to be number one and be in the Super Bowl this year. So a lot of people were expecting this team to be a top level team because of the continuity coming back on the offensive line, a lot of guys getting healthy back in the secondary that we didn't have last year, and even though the Ravens went pretty deep into the playoffs and were only a few plays short of the AFC title game, you know, everyone was coming back healthy, so everyone was excited this season, and then the season starts and everyone gets hurt, so we're kind of back where we were last year, if not even further back. So I don't know what the world's going on right now.
So what was, if you had to pick of the injuries, who was probably the, was it Suggs? Who was it that perhaps was the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back? Now, I'm starting to sound like one of the here in Arizona, we have an afternoon, a drive home show, Burns and Gamble. Now I'm dating myself. Burns and Gamble. And he says he screws up sayings like that all the time. So I just pulled a Gamble. For those of you listening, sorry about that. Yes, so the straw that broke the camel's back. What was the injury that most impacted Baltimore?
It's tough to pick one. I mean, if I have to pick one, I'm going to say it's Terrell Suggs. The secondary for the Baltimore Ravens was weak entering the season. They had very little depth. And Jimmy Smith, the starting cornerback, was coming back from Lynn's Frank surgery. So he's still it's taken a little bit of time for him to get back where he was before the injury last season. But without a pass rush and without Terrell Suggs setting the edge and being a pass rusher for the Baltimore Ravens, they haven't been able to pin their ears back and get after quarterbacks to make up for the secondary woes. So what we're seeing is a secondary that's they're not given any ability or any time to get themselves set up or hopefully hold things down. The pass rush just isn't getting there in time, and you know we're seeing quarterbacks like Josh McCown of the Cleveland Browns pick apart the Ravens for almost 500 yards. So if I have to pick one, it's that one. If I have to pick an overall theme, it's the secondary. Pretty much, if you're a cornerback in Baltimore, take insurance out on your ACL because it's going to tear.
Oh, that's such a injuries. Cardinals know injuries rather well, suffering some crucial ones last year. Carson Palmer goes down, Drew Stanton goes down, and perhaps the theme of last season is the thing I fear the most is what if last year was the year that the Cardinals had it all put together, because it sort of felt like that early on. Then they lose Palmer, and you're okay, well, Drew Stanton can kind of run the ship for a bit. But then you end up with Ryan Lindley, and I said this on my show here several times, is I'm afraid that we wasted the Cardinals' best chance on Ryan Lindley. That was the playoff window that was their best shot of doing it. Now, fortunately for Ravens, historically we've got the early Ray Lewis years with the famous historic defense with the Trent Dilfer at quarterback, and then we got the swan song in 2012, and it, sort of closing the books on that older generation. What is that team now transitioning to, now that you've a couple of years beyond Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, sort of that heart and soul of that Baltimore defense for so many years?
I think a lot of people look at that defense, the Ed Reeds, the Ray Lewis's, that era of defense for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think a lot of people expect them to either A, be that same type of defense, or B, be the complete polar opposite. And one thing that the Ravens have been very good at over the years, which is why they've been in the playoffs every year under John Harbaugh except for one, and then likely this year, is because they've been able to retool every year. They're able to grab a bunch of guys through the draft, through free agency, without spending a bunch of money, without having to have a high pick, and they've been able to kind of retool their defense and offense, for that matter, to stay competitive. The transition to right now is we're seeing just they haven't retooled the right spots. They retooled the same type of things, which is inside linebacker with C.J. Mosley and a veteran, Darryl Smith. They've retooled the offensive line. They just re-signed Marshall Yanda. They've got a bunch of other young players on there in the offensive line, especially in the interior. And they've got a bunch of young kids on the defensive line. Now, the offensive line, defensive line, and linebacker are doing great. They're all phenomenal players, a bunch of Pro Bowl caliber players there. They didn't do anything with wide receiver. We're seeing exactly what's happening there. Steve Smith at, 32, 36 or something like that is putting up a 1,000-yard year because he's the only one that Joe Flacco can throw to. And we're seeing it happen with the secondary and cornerbacks especially, where Jimmy Smith's the only one there, and he's still coming off that injury, and no one else is there to kind of help him out, whether it be over top with a safety help or whether it be the other side of the field on that side. So the Ravens have done good on retooling, but they're just not retooling the right spots, and they're not retooling consistently. So that's been the biggest transition so far from the old era of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed over to this new team. It's just inconsistent in their draft and free agent pickups.
Now, this is the question that's almost obligatory since it's the Ravens and it's Joe Flacco. And I got the answer from one of your writers, but this is, so how elite is Joe Flacco?
I knew exactly where you were going, Timmy, just said it was an obligatory question. I think, and you know what, I've been asked this so many times.
Of course.
Flacco, I hate the word elite, because elite is such a personal definition. I mean, your version of elite is probably dramatically different than mine. I think Joe Flacco is a top 10 quarterback. I think he can be better than that if he had offensive weapons around him, other than an aging veteran like Steve Smith, who's going to retire at the end of the year. I also think he could be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league if he doesn't have an offensive line and he's not with an offensive coordinator that works with his strengths. So it's such a difficult thing to go ahead and say how elite he is. The man put up one of the best postseasons in all of football. And that's not just the new era. That's going up against the best of the best. He is tied with Montana, I believe, for one of the best postseasons, the most touchdowns without any interceptions in a postseason in the Ravens' 2012 Super Bowl run. Whether you do that, clearly I think you got to be labeled elite. I don't care what you do after that. I don't care what you do before that. I think just by definition, you're elite on that side. What we're seeing this year, I'm probably going to eat those words, but he's not elite right now. So, you know, it's an on and off.
I'm leading the headline, I'm leading the headline of that sort. Baltimore beat down. Joe Flacco is not elite. Just so you know, I might lead with that.
Oh, absolutely. Go for it. Go for it. Believe me. I'm sure the Ravens PR hates me right now as it is. So, yeah, you know, it's weird. It's an on and off switch with Joe Flacco. And I was actually just talking with my family. Flacco's a guy who can thread a ball into a spot that you have to imagine there's like a portal there, and it just kind of went in and it magically went to the wide receiver. He does that, and on the very next play, he'll stare down his wide receiver and throw it right to a linebacker. And it's like, whoa, where is the difference here between those two players? What happened? Did somebody go ahead and
he's a better version of Carson Palmer, and I'll say that he's a better version of Carson Palmer because he's had that postseason success. Palmer's that same type of quarterback, especially if you look early in his career. Only he has. Flacco also has the winning resume to do it. Baltimore, I mean, with all the problems you say they have, that's the best problem in the world to have, is have a really good quarterback. Who, I mean, there's only so many Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's in the world and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
There really are. And so after that, you're left with a crop of really good players, but not always. You can't always count on them. And then you've got the teams that are always looking for another quarterback. The Ravens aren't looking for a quarterback because they have Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Now, in Baltimore, was that whole elite thing as played out as it has been nationally? I just have to ask that. Or was it more of a thing that got picked up nationally?
It's a thing that got picked up more nationally. And, you know, sadly, again, the Ravens PR, you know, hate me for this, but the Ravens PR played that up and down. If you went to the Ravens website, especially this offseason, there were probably a half dozen articles about Joe Flacco being elite. Is he not elite? did Trump say he's elite? The word elite at this point, I just want to delete it from the dictionary. But, it got played a lot more everywhere else. Everyone in Baltimore goes, he's a top 10 quarterback. That's just it. Elite, if you want to call it that, that's cool. If not, then that's cool too. We don't really care. I have to say that's pretty much ESPN, that's SportsCenter, that's everywhere else that's doing that.
And it's PFT commenter, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to sit down with him for 5 minutes.
All right, let's pull it back to away from the nonsense. And Carson Palmer, for one, named Brandon Williams as of all the guys they mentioned on the team, he mentioned Brandon Williams in particular. Just how effective has he been? And I'm going to kind of pull it back a little bit after this, but I want to point to Brandon Williams in the Pro Football Focus preview that we all get leading up to the game. Hey, he's super high on his grade. Excel to run defense, a plus 21.5, 21 defensive stops. How efficient, just how good has he been for that middle of that defense?
Here's the best way I can go ahead and put it. The Ravens got rid of Haloti Ngata this season. He's due $16 million or right around that ballpark for his last year of his contract. A lot of people were upset about that. In Brandon Williams, they've got the prime version of Haloti Ngata and a kid that's making significantly less. That's the player that they've gotten. And a lot of people might hate that comparison because Haloti Ngata, you might say that he's a once-in-a-generation type of talent. The Ravens, I believe, have found another guy like that. You just said it. PFF has him ranked as, I believe, the top defensive tackle in football right now, and by like a wide margin. It's not even close. He's killing it, especially as a run stopper, and he's getting plenty of penetration in there, especially to get a little bit of help from his ends on both sides. He's tackled quarterbacks before they've got a chance to hand off the football. So whenever you get a guy who can stop the run And whenever you get a guy who can make that type of penetration, you have a once-in-a-generation type of player. And the Ravens did a great job of replacing Haloti Ngata with a younger version of Haloti Ngata.
Not bad, not bad. And considering where Ngata ended up playing for a miserable Lions team, that's a pretty good decision there. And really, you look at the Baltimore organization, the way it's been run, the consistency, it's tough to see how they've done this year. In fact, I kind of want to take a look at this. It's kind of odd if you look at it. You have Justin Forsett, who himself is a really good NFL scorer, the way he bounced around until he finally found a home and excelled in Baltimore. But you've got one of the top running backs in the NFL. You have a top 10 quarterback in Joe Flacco. You have a top 10 run-stopping defense. You have a defense that gets after the quarterback, yet they're 1-5. How do you explain that? Because they do so many things so well, yet they haven't been able to put it together, and they've just lost a bunch of games.
Well, you know, you mentioned all the things they do really well, and that's the reason why the games have been close. I believe the Ravens' average at this point is something like 4.5 points per game that they've lost. So the games are all close, and if you've watched them, they probably shouldn't be, but they are because of those things that you mentioned. It's the secondary that is giving up, you know, I don't know the average in front of me, but they're giving up 30 points a game. It's an offense that doesn't seem to get it done in the red zone for a variety of different reasons. It's those two things that when you leave points on the board that you could be scoring, and when you allow so many points, you're going to lose a bunch of games. And sadly, this is a team like the Browns have been over the last few years, and so many Ravens fans are going to hate me for saying this. They're a team that just keeps finished. They're a team that comes down to the wire and then shoots themselves in the foot and wonder why they lost.
So, looking at how things have gone, you see a team in the Cardinals who have really, really taken care of business against considerably weaker teams. You've got two games where they have played teams which you could say are pretty decent, at least decent, have a pulse at least, when the Rams and the Pitts and the Steelers. The Cardinals just couldn't get it done in the red zone. The narrative over here, and I've said it many times, the Cardinals beat themselves in those games. At the same time, the game plan that the Rams had was perfect. They executed their game plan perfectly and still almost lost. The Steelers, I don't even have an explanation, because you shouldn't lose to Landry Jones in any universe, anywhere. But how do you see a Cardinals team whose offense has just been insanely good for much of the season? And what kind of the optimism or pessimism that there is around this matchup on Monday night?
Well, you know, in seeing our comments on Baltimore beatdown and even talking to the staff, I doubt you're going to see too many of the Ravens fans or Ravens writers choose the Ravens winning this game. And I think you'll even see most of us saying the Cardinals are going to win by double digits. This is an offense that in the Cardinals that is a great passing offense. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's there. Carson Palmer seems to be, I don't know where you guys dug up his corpse from Cincinnati and gave him life, but he's out there playing pretty well against a defense that is ranked, I think, like 31st in the league in passing yards allowed. So it's a perfect storm of the Cardinals walking into a game that fits them so beautifully. And I think that's the worry here in Baltimore. At the same time, this is also a Baltimore Ravens team who has been able to put so many things together and keep games a lot closer than they probably should have. So, I mean, this is a game that could be an overtime 3-point winner for Arizona, or even for Baltimore for that matter, who knows. Or it could also be a blowout to where by halftime Ravens fans are shutting the game off. So, yeah, I mean, that's about as well as I can say it, sadly.
Looking at the offense, so if you look at how things match up, the Cardinals aren't a good team at rushing the quarterback, but they have a shutdown secondary. They have shown flashes of being great at run defense, but at the same time have given up key yards. You look at Todd Gurley, who just completely destroyed them in the fourth quarter. Le'Veon Bell was able to get key important yards late in the game. Matt Forte had over 100 yards in total offense in between the passing game. Mark Ingram even had almost 100 yards receiving. Do you look at that and say, hey, we've got a guy in Forsett. How much success do you expect him to have against the Arizona defense?
I think the Ravens have been one of those teams that kind of start a little bit slow with the run, and they can get away with it, or get away from it, if the game starts getting a little bit out of hand. We've seen Flacco throw it 40-plus times, a few times, when they're down by 14 at halftime. So if the Arizona Cardinals can do their job on offense, we won't see a lot of Justin Forsett at all. If they can't and the Ravens are able to keep it close, there's the opportunity by the third, fourth quarter to where the Ravens offense has just beaten down the defensive line for the Cardinals and maybe even tired out the secondary a little bit to where Forsett can hit that second level, maybe make a guy miss and maybe get a few runs of 20-plus yards to inflate his total past 100 yards. Forsett right now I think is on pace for right around 1,400 yards on the ground alone, so clearly he's earning those yards somewhere along the line, and a lot of that does come in the third and fourth quarter when this Ravens offensive line just beats you down long enough, you get tired come the fourth quarter, and the Ravens are able to go ahead and pick up weird third and 20s that they probably shouldn't be specifically because of that.
Is the completely aside, but are the Ravens completely over and the fans completely over, have completely forgot about the Ray Rice situation?
I think so. And sadly, I'm going to have to write an article about it not too much longer from now, but part of that has come with the fact that just time has passed. Part of that has come with the fact that the Ravens found another running back in Justin Force who is doing the job just as well, if not better, than what Ray Rice was doing in his final year or two. The other big thing is that Ray Rice just hasn't gotten a job anywhere else, and we can talk ad nauseum about the reasons why he isn't getting a job, if that's fair, if that's not fair, but he's not even getting looks from other teams that could really use a running back who can catch out of the backfield and pass block and run between the tackles and outside the tackles. Ray Rice, if he's healthy, if he has everything going on like he did early in his career, is about as complete of a back as you can expect. And he's not even getting looks from teams that desperately need a running back. So I think his career's just over, and I think that's kind of helped Baltimore fans and even national media just leave it go. I think Baltimore fans are just kind of over it. They're talking more about a 1-5 season than they are about Ray Rice.
Understandably so. I can assume that if you're talking matchups, the one that Baltimore would match up the least well would be the Cardinals' passing offense against the secondary, the way you talked earlier. But I want to talk about, if you had to pick a matchup that the Ravens match up best with, where is the strength? If you had to pick a matchup that says significantly or even at some point, but advantage Ravens in this particular matchup?
I'm pointing more toward the tight ends. The Ravens have done very well with their tight ends, Crockett Gilmore, Max Williams, and even Nick Boyle. Max Williams and Nick Boyle are both rookies this season, but all three guys have done phenomenally well in what role they're being used as, whether it's blockers, whether it's catching passes and doing things like that. We've seen Crockett Gilmore catch a 10-yard pass and manhandle defenders to get to a touchdown. I think if you do that enough, I think that the Ravens have a serious advantage over top of the Cardinals in that regard, to where a missed tackle and all of a sudden you have a touchdown. Or even come the fourth quarter, it gets tiring tackling a guy at 6'5" and 270 pounds, 280 pounds. You get a few passes to Crockett Gilmore, and your linebackers, your safeties, your cornerbacks start second-guessing whether or not they want to go ahead and try to lay the hit and maybe just try to go for the feet, and that's when a guy like Crockett Gilmore is able to sidestep a tackle or run through it and, put six up on the board.
All right. And looking at some of the players, there are definitely names that Cardinals fans will recognize. You got Steve Smith, and that's going to be a fun matchup in terms of personality. Steve Smith against Patrick Peterson. Smith, who is, if I can describe him, he is the ultimate little guy. Only he is tougher than anybody I've ever met. So he acts and talks, and every little guy who has anything to prove, and he's proven everything, but he still has to do it against Patrick Peterson, who himself, he likes to talk. You got Joe Flacco. You've got these names, and Justin Forsett. Who are some players that Cardinal fans can look at to say that the Ravens should get a significant or even an important contribution from come this Monday night?
I think you've listed them, and especially in offense, it's going to be Steve Smith. Joe Flacco looks at Steve Smith first. That's his first read on just about every passing play. And even though he has four microfractures, ribs in his back, dude lit it up last week. He's not even on the injury report at this point. I mean, we've got guys who have calf injuries that are on the injury report or have a thumb injury. And Steve Smith has four broken bones in his back, and
the deer antler
you
stuff.
Couldn't tell.
The deer antler stuff.
Yeah, deer antler. He could be praying to Satan. I have no idea what in the world's going on. But I think when you look at Steve Smith, you got a guy who is gritty, and he will find a way to get open. He will find a way to get his yards, as long as he doesn't have the concentration drops that we've even seen this season and last season. He's a guy that he's a good bet on fantasy. I can tell you that. Crockett Gilmore is another guy that I would expect to get involved in this offense one way or another. Again, whether it's blocking for Justin Forsett or blocking down the field, maybe on screen passes or even on short plays that he can get upfield and make a good block on, you'll see that. He's a guy who's going to play out every single play to the whistle, just like Steve Smith. Joe Flacco is another one of those guys that you're going to see him one way or another. You see good Joe, you might see bad Joe, but you're definitely going to see Joe. And Justin Forsett is the other guy on the offense. Defensively, you're going to see a lot of Jimmy Smith, and that's going to be an exciting matchup for the Baltimore Ravens, Jimmy Smith against Larry Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's obviously getting a little bit older, but he still has plenty of pep left to him. He's still one of the better wide receivers in the league. Jimmy Smith is starting to finally get healthy after that Lisfranc surgery last season, and we're starting to see some of that Pro Bowl talent come back. That's going to be a good matchup. And then Elvis Dumervil on the defensive side of the ball. He's really the only pass rusher the Ravens have, so they've been kind of letting him pin his ears back and just go after the quarterback on delayed blitzes or on weird blitzes they've tried to dial up. So you'll end up seeing him come after Carson Palmer a little bit, and hopefully he can rattle Palmer and maybe shake him loose. But I think those are the main important guys. If you're looking for this game to switch one way or another, those are the guys that you're going to have to pay attention to.
All right. Let's kind of wrap this up a little bit. Kind of one last little segment. Again, this is Revenge of the Birds Radio, talking to Matthew Stevens from BaltimoreBeatNow.com, our SB Nation Baltimore Ravens site. Without making necessarily a prediction, I want you to kind of fill in the blank. The Ravens will win if, give the situation in which that would happen, and the Ravens will lose if, give us that situation.
Okay. I'm going to start with the Ravens will lose if things continue the way that they have. If the secondary continues to give up big plays, continues to give up big yardage, and continues to give up scores. The Ravens will win if the secondary, finally, if they find someone that can play cornerback and someone that can play safety, and they're able to hold the Cardinals and limit those big plays. It solely depends on that secondary for this game.
All right. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for coming on the show. You can follow Baltimore Beatdown, their site account on Twitter, @BeMoreBeatdown, or just head on over, become a member at BaltimoreBeatdown.com, and have some good civil conversation, please, with the Ravens fans over there. Is there a wait time for those who have to sign up?
I don't believe so. I think I actually got rid of that earlier this season. So when you could sign up immediately and get started on the conversation. We've been trying to put up a bunch of Cardinal stuff, so definitely come on over, chat with us, let us know what you guys are thinking about the game and your own matchups.
All right. And Matt, personally, is there a, can our listeners follow you on Twitter or whatnot?
Actually, the best spot to go ahead and get us and get the best Baltimore Ravens news is we have a podcast, the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast, and that is on rabble.tv every Thursday at 7 p.m. You can also check us out on SoundCloud and iTunes. And we actually should have a post up probably tomorrow morning with the latest podcast that we had on Thursday. So definitely hit us up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Matt. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. Chick, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, again on our preview show for the Baltimore Ravens Monday night matchup. That's Matthew Stevens. I'm Jess Root, and thank you for listening to Revenge of the Birds Radio. You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.
It's summer when all people want to talk about is the weather. How seasonable it is, especially for this time of year. How incredibly mild. How typical. How it's finally come around. And how actually, now that it is here, it's all just a bit too much. We don't mind it hot, but not this hot. You also know it's summer when you can grab yourself a frozen strawberry lemonade. Tangy iced lemon mixed with a sweet strawberry swirl. $1.99 from the McCafe Iced Range at McDonald's. Served until the 11th of October, subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.